Hello, people. Look, I can spin towards you. I'll just record like this.
Oh, well.
We're together.
We are.
Sabrina's a masshole.
I'm an asshole. And we have a special episode for you today. We got to chat with, I feel like I am proud of myself because I didn't fangirl as much as I was internally.
Yes.
There is one podcast that I listen to religiously. Even through the pandemic when I like stopped having a commute, I still always listened to Something Was Wrong. So we're really excited to have Tiffany Reese on the show of Something Was Wrong. If you haven't listened to Something Was Wrong, the podcast, highly recommend it. The new season just came out and it is a wild ride.
Yeah, there's 20 seasons so far of Something Was Wrong. So you've got a lot of catching up to do.
Lots to catch up.
Tiffany does an amazing job at advocating for the victims in these stories and works with victims to tell their stories. Mm-hmm. But she took a little break to tell us not something that was wrong with humans, but something that was wrong with a haunted house she went to.
We hope you enjoy. Tiffany, you teased us. We haunted you by accident.
You haunted me. So I was in a recording for season 20, long recording, and we're like talking about something that it's already like a very horror movie part of this story that this woman's telling me. Mm-hmm. And in between like getting a little break, my husband had brought in my merch box and like set it down, and I think set like a water bottle down or something, because I'm usually, if I'm in like a 5-hour recording, like in between, you know, every 2 hours, I'm like frantically texting my husband, like, can you throw water at me and some crackers,
Water, snacks.
Help. I'm going to be here for the next 6 hours. Just go on without me, you know? So he had like just brought the box so I could look at it whenever. And all of a sudden we get back on the recording after a bathroom break. We're talking. And then all of a sudden we just hear this like weird ass noise that I've never heard on Zencastr before. And I was like,
oh my God,
was that you? And she's like, no. And I was like, you didn't just like drop the microphone. And so then we both kept like, we'd talk and then it like come back. Yeah. And we were like, oh my God, my two girls, one ghost merch just got here. I think it's haunted.
Oh, fuck. Oh my God.
So I haven't pulled up the recording yet, but apparently y'all are.
You have to listen back. Cause what if it's whispering? Like if it's actual words.
I haven't gone through the footage yet, all the way through yet, but I haven't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to clip it and send it to you guys so you can analyze. Yes.
Well, because with our Conjuring merch, a few people have said that their children react to the front. There's like one or two images where kids will just like point and be like, ghost. But it's like, it's a picture of me and Sabrina, and then it's a picture of the house. Like there's no ghosts. But a lot of people's kids have started pointing to our sweatshirts and saying things about the...
And they're scared of it.
Sweatshirt. So we're like, oh my God, is our merch haunted? What the
Where
fuck?
Is it being produced?
I'd probably say place everybody produces theirs. So I'm like, what is happening?
The same place the Winchester Mystery House produces their merch or what?
Yeah. No, seriously.
Have you guys been there? Have you done one on that?
We have.
I did an episode on it and Sabrina went and toured it. I have not.
Oh my God. I did. Okay, though I heard, okay, because you live near there, right?
Yeah, you have to go. Yeah.
So, but I've heard that a lot of the stuff that they kind of tell the world is made up.
I don't know. They were kind of just like, she's crazy. Bitch was just building anything.
Hey, she kept a lot of people employed. So we got to give her that.
She did.
She kept people busy. She had to be a Capricorn.
She was the Sims before the Sims existed. She's like, let me just put up random walls and doors and
Let's
a new stairway. Let's try it.
Right. And now they have a TikTok and people get married there and that's fine.
Oh.
Totally normal.
That's romantic.
No, just kidding. But it's like, because it's very like commercialized, right?
Yeah,
so
totally.
It's like absolutely gorgeous, but also then you go in. I remember going in there as a kid and being like, and we're touring this because
why?
This is normal.
We actually, I drove up for Friday the 13th. And so they did like the ringing the bell 13 times and everything.
Oh, not the bell. Not the bell.
The bell.
It summons the spirits. Cool. It must.
But we should apologize, Tiffany. We are sorry for haunting you, if that's potentially what happened. But also
But are we sorry?
It is self-proclaimed most haunted podcast.
It's authentic. You got to give yourselves that.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything. This is proof. Like, you're the one that had the experience. We did absolutely these are just nothing the facts. To make this happen.
These are just the facts.
These are hard, cold facts.
We will produce the audio if necessary. It got so creepy that the survivor, I kind of felt bad because I was like making jokes about it being haunted and stuff. And she's like, okay, can you stop? Because I'm actually getting... And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was just joking. I'm just joking.
You're like forgetting that she's not on the same wavelength.
Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck. Man.
Well, now we know she'll never listen to our podcast.
It's funny. As we were prepping for this episode, Corinne and I like kept talking about how we spend so much time talking about the paranormal and how scary it is. But ultimately, people are the mm-hmm. scariest. Like, people are far scarier than the paranormal. But yeah. it's interesting mm-hmm. hearing you say this survivor's like, I've probably been through so much, but don't talk about the paranormal. Like, I don't want to get scared by that.
Right. Yeah. The real monsters live everywhere.
Yes.
They live everywhere.
Among us.
Yeah. I mean, you're on season 20.
Yes.
How do you even exist in the world and like meet a human and be okay with meeting them after everything that you know?
And trust them.
Yeah. I feel like I would never be able to walk into a grocery store again.
It definitely has impacted me, I think.
Yeah.
That in combination with like COVID and just, I don't know if you guys feel this anxiety, but like even just like, and this sounds like the most douchebag, humble brag, but being recognized, like when I'm out with my kids in public has made me feel really uncomfortable. Not that anybody's ever made me uncomfortable, but I'm just like I've always wanted my work to be known and not necessarily me. Yeah. You know?
Right.
And that's something I kind of had to work on as the podcast grew. And
well, especially when you're with your children.
Exactly. Because I was at like California Adventure one time and I'm like with them and it was just like the mom bear instinct came over me. Mm. And I also was just like right away, I was like, I'm not Tess Holliday because my youngest son has like long blonde hair and looks just like Tess Holliday's son. And so multiple times I've been like out with him and people have been like, are you? And I'm like, no, I'm not. We don't.
That's so funny.
Your son is being recognized. Mark.
I'm like almost six feet tall. She's definitely not, but it's just funny. So I was like, I'm not. But then instantly, like I said, they were really nice. And I don't want to like discourage people, but it is definitely like because of the work that I do. I never know when someone's approaching me because they want to thank me or like there's somebody that we've talked about, you know?
Right. Yeah, they're pissed that you said something.
That has never happened, thank God. But, you know, anxiety and stuff.
I know.
Well, thank you so much for creating Something Was Wrong and for the empathy that you have shown so many people, because your show and your work has really like inspired me and moved mountains in my own like trauma work and life work. And so thank you for creating Something Was Wrong.
Well, thank you for saying that and for listening and for having me. And you guys are awesome. I'm so excited that we're like finally connecting. I think you guys are like friends with Payne Lindsay. A little bit.
Yeah.
But that's how I literally just saw your guys' podcast name because Payne had been on your show or something and shared like a story. And I was like, I'm fucking adding these ladies because this is the funniest fucking podcast name I've seen yet. So then I started watching your guys' like teasers and stuff. And of course, you're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But that's how I found you.
Well, we've been listening to you for years.
Just simply was like, because I remember watching the Two Girls, One Cup. When that shit dropped on your LimeWire downloads.
How far into that did you get? Like, how much of that did you watch is the question.
They explained it to me ahead of time. It was like a roommate situation where it's like you can't escape. You're already in it before you can get out of it. Like somebody just comes into the room with the video playing. Like, and I was just like, oh, they knew. Because I'm like the person who passes out if I see blood. I have the Corinne weakest too. Stomach.
Same.
And so it was presented to me very much like, you're going to hate this.
Oh, my God. It really did traumatize all of us. I cannot believe Gen Z doesn't have to go through that.
Thank God. I don't know whose idea that was, but still, the name is fantastic.
Although now in my adult years, if someone presented that video to me, I would have to watch just to know because I have a sick fascination.
Well, yeah.
If you could stomach it, I mean, I guess... Yeah.
I did do that to Sabrina the other day because around the time that Two Girls, One Cup was going around, there was also meatspin.com. I don't know if you were victim to that.
All those weird websites about, there was another one. Was it E-Bombs?
Oh, E-Bombs World?
I don't know. There was one that like my dude friends would go on and it was just like disturbing things.
Yeah. Wild west of the internet.
I'm like, is this the dark web? Like, I don't, like, that's how I felt when they would show me shit.
It is, though.
Isn't the dark web didn't exist yet when the internet first came out. Like, we were just on it. It was everything.
No, it was the, it was literally the nobody was watching us. Like, I was in chat rooms, like, here's my location. I'm 12. What's your name? Yeah. Like, no fucking awareness just at all.
How are we alive?
Honestly. Because our parents neglected us so early on that we had to turn into like little latchkey kids, I think.
We're all little Matildas.
We were just like biking to Taco Bell at 7, just fucking living, yes. Dude.
I know. Oh my gosh.
Watching America's Most Wanted, just doing fucking whatever.
And also, why was I allowed to just constantly watch reruns of Law & Order SVU when I was 12?
Oh my God. Like, that's religion, first of all.
It is. It is. We like to say Olivia Benson is mommy.
Oh, yeah. She is so badass. So
that show's like, what? What season are they even on? They're
a million.
Still I don't know. New seasons.
I did watch the season that Babler came back because I was like,
oh my gosh. Got
blessed.
To. Yeah.
So blessed. I'm not one for white dudes, but
he does it for you.
For sure. The whole show. Even Munch is kind of attractive by the end, you know?
Honestly, yes. Yes. I feel like you spend a lot of time talking about some scary people in the world. And we also, clearly all of us, spend a lot of time listening, watching things that remind us of how terrible and scary people are in the world. But today, maybe you can talk more about the paranormal side of things.
Right. This shit feels like nothing. Right? Compared to the anxiety of working in the entertainment industry, this is nothing. That's a horror movie, okay?
Also, I realize I look like freaking Chucky the doll.
I almost said that to you, Sabrina, earlier, but then I didn't want you to feel self-conscious about your outfit, but you were giving Chucky vibes.
Chucky is in for fall now.
Okay, but Tiffany, you said that you grew up with some haunted places that you and your friends would like talk about a lot. Do you want to tell us about them?
Yes. So I will say I was raised in a very like ghost adjacent household. Like my biological mom definitely believed in ghosts and from a very early age was like, fucking ghosts are real, dude. Like to the point where it was a little bit much and you're like, okay, it's your whole personality though.
Oh, well, I mean, that's us.
But she was also like scared. It was like she was obsessed with it, but she was also like scared because she grew up in like a very religious, you know, where like it's from the devil and any sort of ghost and thing is like from the devil. So I remember doing like her finding out that I had done a Ouija board when I was 7 in Mexico. To be fair, they let me go to Mexico by myself when I was 7 with a bunch of teenagers, like on a theater trip that like with adults they just met like a month before. I was definitely a raise my own self kid. So I did this like Ouija board and I remember like going home and telling my mom, like, I fucking talked to Satan or whoever is in charge of the Ouija board, like thinking she's going to be super proud of me. And she was so mad. She was like, don't ever fucking play with it. Like you could curse yourself. Like it just, I was like so fucking scared after that. So that was like my intro.
Do you remember what happened when you played the Ouija board or do you mostly remember your mom getting mad at you for playing with it?
I mostly remember that, but I do remember believing that it was 100% real.
Yeah.
Like it was working.
How many people did you play with?
It was like 12 of us. And again, I was like the youngest kid. Most of the kids were like 12 to 15 probably.
Yeah.
And there was like one other boy who was around my age, but he wasn't there that evening because he had parents that like cared about him and watched him and stuff on the trip. So I'm just like with the 16-year-olds as a 7-year-old, just like, let's fucking do this. Which like, who am I talking to with the Ouija board? Is it spirits? Is that who you're talking to? Just in general? Like, is it like a chat room?
Well, this is why Ouija boards are so dangerous because
you don't know.
Well, I guess any form of communication can be dangerous because you don't know when there's some trickster spirits associated with Ouija boards. Like there's different demons that come in, pose as your family members, pose as just like some guy who died 200 years ago. But really, they're trying to feed off your energy, like go home with you, latch on to you. And there's all these rules about closing out the boards and all this. And also, Tiffany, I have to tell you, Mexico is one of the most haunted fucking places we've ever talked about.
No, the whole thing is giving haunted, okay?
It's so haunted.
I feel like you're lucky that the worst thing that happened was your mom yelling at you.
Honestly. I mean, I was lucky to make it out alive after that trip. But, yeah. You know.
Seriously. So have you touched a Ouija board since?
I have not, but like, I'm pretty like, you know, open to anything.
You'd fuck with a Ouija board.
So like, I'll do anything a couple times. But I remember too, like playing light as a board, stiff as a feather. What was it?
Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
And then like one of our friends' moms finding us at a sleepover and being like, that is from Satan. Like witchcraft. Everything is from Satan. Witchcraft, that right. kind of thing. So that was kind of my intro to like the, is it paranormal? Okay. Like if I sound yeah. ignorant, please clarify no. so I don't sound stupid to your
we
ghost
don't
people,
know
please.
Anything. By the way, yeah. we should preface this that like we've been talking about, because Corinne and I both grew up in haunted houses and we've had a lot of our own encounters and we've been talking about ghosts now on the podcast. We've been doing this almost 7 years.
What?
The one thing we can confidently say is we don't know anything when it comes to the yeah. paranormal.
It's kind of the nothing. Beauty of the paranormal. Like, we get to sit in this niche little category where it's like, you'll never really have the answers. And so you can say things and everything is theory and no one can really get mad at you because how do they know that you're wrong?
And so, but then they still find a way to be mad at you because they're like, why do you believe in ghosts? And it's like, well, why did you listen to our podcast?
Right. Yeah.
Don't listen if you don't want to know.
You can also press pause and exit at any fucking time you right. like.
Well, I think they do. And then they trip and fall on the way to press pause. And then suddenly they've created a Reddit page and they don't know what's happened.
My favorite are the people on Reddit who have never listened to your show, but know everything about you and your show.
Right.
And then I'm like, they're the most loyal listeners.
We shouldn't even say them. Their bad spirits will come in here. The Reddit spirits. I don't want it. I'm more afraid of that than anything.
Honestly, if there would be a demon, like Reddit demon would probably be the scariest demon.
The scariest demon or YouTube comments. Demon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That's where they used to be the worst. Now I think it's yeah. Reddit and Discord. Like if they make a Discord about you, just call the cops and file a report.
We made a Discord about ourselves so we can monitor it.
Fair.
Discord intimidates the hell out of me. Discord and Pilates to me are like the two things in this universe that I'm intimidated by.
Pilates? Oh, yeah. I could see that being really hard for you. And
yeah, your nimble little body.
You're really giving unathletic and difficult to exercise.
Okay, those, let's talk about, though, those reformers look like freaking torture devices.
They do look like torture devices. That is correct. Yeah. And those little discs, like, stop trying to humiliate me. Is this a humiliation ritual or is this an exercise class? That's how I felt after I left.
The most humiliating thing about Pilates classes is that there will always be an 80-year-old woman next to you doing
killing
it like
it.
It's yeah, yeah, like it's absolutely nothing.
Not even breaking a sweat. Okay, so your foray in was a Ouija board, which is pretty intense.
Yes. And so then, you know, I did Winchester House. I did do some things. Like when I was in high school, I thought I was super edgy and punk rock, and me and my friends would break into the graveyard and lay on the graves and like take band photos and do ridiculous, stupid emo things. We were like, we're so cool. Like we would literally get drunk and when I was like 14, break into the graveyard. This is so inappropriate and disrespectful, by the way. We thought we were so edgy. We thought we were going to like marry Davey Havoc from AFI and raise the spirits from the grave.
Oh my God.
And then I just kind of didn't think about these kinds of things anymore.
It was just a phase, Mom.
It was just a phase for me a little bit. I think also because like my mom was so into it, like anything when you're a teenager, you're like, okay, like I'm going to like that less now.
Yeah.
But as I went into like early college age, what I want to talk to you guys about today, there was this notorious house. And then my friend Denise, she gave me her permission to use her name. I had forgotten that she was with me one of the times and she was like, her response was the best. She found the GPS coordinates for us of the exact location of where the house was. I don't know how.
Whoa.
But
damn.
It's in Sheridan, California. I'll read you what she remembers about it first because I felt like it was really funny. She's like, Tiffany, I have so much to say about this. I talked to my husband about it like every few months. We did go there with a group. It was so fucking scary. And I remember thinking it was all a bunch of demons at the time. Oh, goodness. I'm going to try and have to think and we'll get back to you. I'm so glad morbidly that I'm not the only one that was deeply disturbed by that night, which will make more sense when I tell you what happened when we went.
Oh, my gosh.
And so then I was like, oh, my God, how did you find the fucking address? And she's like,
I'm not kidding when I tell you that I've thought about this every few months since we went there.
I'm so excited to hear this.
And also, she was like really religious at the time, and we went with a bunch of Christian band fuckboys.
Oh my God.
Why do I feel like this is giving me like Jennifer's Body?
I was just thinking that.
I don't know what that is, but.
Oh, you have to watch that movie. That's on your watch list. It's
Megan Fox.
Oh, say less. She's a very, such a good actress.
Feminist.
That's what I meant. Why I like her. The feminism, obviously.
It is a great movie.
I'm sure it is. So then she continues. Okay, so here's what I remember. I brought a lantern because there was no power. We parked on the side of the road near a little bridge that went over a small stream creek. She has a way better memory than me. I should have smoked way less weed. There was a group of maybe 18, 15 of us. We walked down past a small gate about 50 feet. On our left was a small house. In front of that was an old barn. And beyond that, darkness and farmland. I love how she's written this.
Wow.
It was dusk, so we only had a bit of light left. I remember turning on our lanterns, flashlights as we entered the seemingly abandoned house. I'm glad that I didn't read all of this until now. Some people made comments about hearing actual farm animals in the distance, suggesting farm activity while witnessing an abandoned farmhouse. On entering, I remember full chills, goosebumps. I was super religious at the time and immediately assumed it was a demonic presence. I can remember walking to the abandoned house, to the living area in front of us, and an abandoned and trashed kitchen beyond that. This is amazing. To the right, the living room area extended and went around the corner to an area with bedrooms and basement access.
She's not kidding. She's not, this is so ingrained in her mind.
Burned into her memory.
Wow.
Poor thing was stressed out, convinced she was going to hell.
She revisits the details every few months to make sure that she still remembers it right.
She's like, what, did that really happen? I remember someone accidentally stepping on some sketchy flooring and falling through the floorboards. That really fucking happened. Literally, one of the dudes we were there with that was like hella tall and skinny, as we're going through the top level, fucking falls through. So we all scream bloody murder and run the fuck out of there.
Wait, how did he get out?
Oh, well, I'll take you through what I remember in just a second. Okay, so then she's okay. Like, I remember going around the corner and being confronted with the door to the basement. Immediately, I felt a feeling of fuck no, which was, yeah, I felt the same feeling. And then she said, I feel like someone else opened the door and saw that although the staircase was torn up and damaged, there was blood on the basement walls. This was the one point where I remember people panicking, and I think I may have run out at this time. I also remember there being dead cats.
What?
And pentagrams on the floor walls. Oh, because there was graffiti. Like, the whole house was graffitied inside. So,
oh, God. Which, that suggests, like, satanic rituals.
People were using it for something, I think, is what ended up happening. Because
especially the blood on the walls? No.
I think it was paint. Like, I think it was, like, yeah, I don't know. But then she says, because I was so deeply religious, I felt so disturbed, but now I feel like intrigued, and I can't believe how vividly I remember that night still. She also said that, and this is goes back to the fuck boys we were with, the Christian fuck boys, but she was like, I remember also we listened to the song Sleepwalking by Blindside on the way there. And I remember that because, like, whenever she would hear the song after that, she would feel guilty.
Oh, no. I was going to joke. Did you guys play like Evanescence or one of those like Christian rock bands?
I'm so sorry. She felt so. I did not have that experience at all. Okay. So
you were too high, Tiffany. She was on alert and you're like, whoa.
I was like probably drunk again. Yeah. I was like, wow.
How old were you again?
Okay, I would have been like probably 18 during this time because I was definitely with my ex-boyfriend. So, and she was with her ex-ex. So we had heard about this haunted house from my friend Madge. She found out about the haunted house when her senior year of high school, a group of boys took her out to this location and they were walking her like she was going to go to the haunted house, her and I think one other girl. And one of their friends was hiding in the bushes with a chainsaw and scared them.
Are you fucking? I would think I was going to die.
As a senior prank.
That's not a prank. That's a near-death experience.
And I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
horrifying.
I thought it was insane. They all acted like it was funny. And I was like, I'm built different. Like, I would have never left the house again, certainly. Yeah. So that's how I originally heard about this house. And then we all talked about it. We all go out there. So yeah, I remember there was like a group of like probably 12 of us. And we took two cars. And I don't remember Blindside, so she must have been in the other car. Because I remember pulling up, blasting Michael Jackson's Thriller at full volume to the place.
The most appropriate song.
Or, yeah, of course. Like when that ghost voice at the end came on, I was like, I felt that, you know? It's like completely pitch dark. It's definitely like farm country. So that all tracks. Like her, I don't remember that about the barn at all. I'm glad she provided that insight. I go in with a bunch of people. I probably was one of the last to go in because I was like, what the fuck? So scared. Like, I don't want to go in there. It's probably spiders. Like, I wasn't thinking about ghosts. I was thinking about just it being dirty and gross kind of a thing. And like somebody trying to like jump scare me. And I was not wrong.
Because the freaking floor caved in. So like you were right to be worried about the architecture and what was inside that house structurally.
Totally. It was trespassing, to be clear. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure. Holy. I mean, it was abandoned, but like nobody should have been in there.
Right.
So we go in. The living room was just like an empty space. The living room looked the most normal. When you went downstairs, there was a basement. And just like she said, what I recall was that it was graffiti, like red graffiti. Like to me, it felt like teenagers had gone there and purposefully tried to make it look spooky because they knew that people went. So that was my interpretation of it. There was like pentagrams and like red paint that kind of looked like blood. And it was definitely dirty and gross. And what I had been told about the house before we went was that a family was murdered there by the husband. And that's why the house had been abandoned. I have no reason to believe that that's true. I'm sure it's just like an urban legend or something. Mm-hmm. I hope it's not true.
Was it abandoned with furniture in it or was it empty?
So I was one of the few people after homeboy fell through the floor that was stayed in the house. And I wanted to go to the top because I noticed there was like a little staircase to the top. And when I got up there, it was like kind of like an attic bedroom. Mm-hmm. And there was a fucking baby carriage in there, like a buggy.
Oh, the creepiest item that they could have left behind.
In like the attic too.
A fucking buggy, dude. I was like, there may have been a baby doll in it. I don't know, but I was like,
oh, that's even worse. What if it started crying?
Right? So that was a wrap for me. And I think that's when I left.
It was the baby doll carriage. It wasn't the house trying to literally consume your friend falling through the
It was just like the fact that there was props, I felt like. I was like, I don't know. Is this like to catch a ghost hunter and somebody's going to come out and be mad at us because we're here? I also was like, I'm such a rule follower that I was plagued by like the fact that I was in somebody else's property, you know, going through this thing. Like those were my concerns, honestly. But I mean, it could have been haunted. I definitely didn't feel that. I mostly just felt like scared in general. But I have definitely felt other things where I've been at like old houses and felt like, what was that shit? You know, like I definitely have had that feeling, but I didn't have it there. But I did go back another time too.
Oh, you did?
With a different group. Yeah. It was funny to me that I have friends in Sacramento that were like, I've never heard of this. What the fuck? Like, why didn't you take me there? And I'm like, I thought everybody knew because I just remember talking to so many people about it from so many different like groups of friends and stuff. So I ended up going back the second time and I don't even know if I went in. I think I just more like went with the group.
Do you know, does it still exist? Like if you looked on Google Maps at the coordinates, does
it finally looks like somebody demolished, like it's been flattened.
Okay. But is it flattened because some developer or new family is going to build their dream home on this property? That's a question.
I don't know. It's interesting how California is so densely populated, but there's still these pockets where there's just nothing. Like in this part, Sheridan is very much like a farming community, probably of like a few thousand population. It's like one gas station. And you had to go. I remember it was out there.
I need to look
like
up
you had to drive. Like, I don't know how so many of us knew the coordinates and how to get there, except for MySpace did exist. Like, I mean, this was like early aughts. So,
but this was like MapQuest days.
Yeah. So we were wearing 27 tank tops and using MapQuest directions probably during this time with our emo haircuts.
Of course.
This does feel like the beginning of House of Wax or one of those movies where it's like all the kids piling in, going together into this kind of like desolate area.
That same group, we also went to in Coloma, a haunted hotel one time, but we didn't go like during the day like normal people. We went at like 1 a.m. when we decided to do it.
Well, that's when you're supposed to go to like if you want to experience something spooky and like set the stage before even going, 1 a.m. is an appropriate time to go.
Yeah.
Yes, it felt right.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking up where Sheridan is, and I realize that the Sierra Nevada Mountains, it's a huge mountain range, but there is one of the, we'll have to send you the recording later, but there was a very famous Bigfoot sighting that happened there, and they have recordings of the Bigfoot calls.
We fuck with Bigfoot hard up in this Northern California, girl. Are you kidding me? Like, have you been to Humboldt?
Oh, I've never been, but we've heard.
You gotta go. First of all, it's gorgeous. Like, Pacific Northwest, gorge. And then Bigfoot shit everywhere.
That's my dream.
Have you seen Bigfoot?
I have not seen Bigfoot, only, like, the statues in the woods everywhere on the drive to Humboldt. But it's, if I was Bigfoot, that's where I would live because it's fucking gorgeous up there. And so he's not wrong about that. But there's like a Bigfoot museum, Bigfoot gift shops, like these giant wooden things. Like you guys would love it.
Incredible. Maybe the three of us should go Bigfoot hunting together.
Let's do it. Also, like the Redwoods, like where a lot of this is like literally where they film like Jurassic Park and like parts of.
Oh, so beautiful.
Lord of the Rings, because it's so fucking gorgeous. So it's like if you're going to go searching for anything.
Something mystical about it.
Oh, yeah. The Humboldt in general. It's haunted as fuck. Mm-hmm. That's why they call it the Emerald Triangle, dude. It's spooky as hell. I'm trying to move there one day.
That's what they call it? The Emerald Triangle?
Yeah. And they also call it Murder Mountain because there's so many people that are disappear and killed there. And there's a Netflix documentary about it. But when I lived there, even when I visit and my family, we love to go there. Like we'll go for spring break because it's like gorgeous and you can like rent a house for pretty decent compared to other places in California. Mm-hmm. And we always say like the vibes here are so weird. The people here are so like it's a different vibe. Like people, it's definitely an eclectic place.
Yeah, you can feel it.
Mm-hmm. I went to college in Humboldt when I was 17 because it was the only place that would take me as a minor that would let me live in the dorms because I was like trying to get the fuck out of Dodge. And so there was this man who lived in the forest, I kid you not, behind my dorms at College of the Redwoods in Humboldt. And he had this jug of mushroom tea, straight mushrooms made into tea. And he would just walk around campus fucking chugging that thing. And everybody who works there is just like, oh, that's, you know, so-and-so. Like, I can't believe nobody's made like a TV show about your, like a comedy show about Humboldt and its people. Because it is a place truly unlike any other.
Wow. The Emerald Triangle.
And everyone is high all the time. So everywhere you go, you're like, is that kid stoned? What? Is Bigfoot stoned?
See, that's probably why Bigfoot does so well up there is because he can like hide in plain sight and people are just like, oh, okay.
People are seeing him whether he's there or not.
What if Bigfoot was just like addicted to cannabis in the most extreme way and he was the one stealing all the weed in Murder Mountain and he was actually causing all of this?
Okay, wait, there was a documentary about this where there were weed farmers in that area that blamed a bunch of like murders and crops being destroyed on Bigfoot.
Really?
To scare everyone who could potentially come onto their farm and try to steal their weed into thinking Bigfoot was patrolling that area and that they could die. It was like literally a hoax to scare everyone in the weed industry away from their farm.
I'm just imagining Bigfoot like a security guard going in a black car to the weed, like security.
Right.
Keep all the weed thieves out.
Forget like scarecrows.
Yeah. Who needs a scarecrow when you have Bigfoot, dude?
I have this love-hate relationship with Bigfoot. It's not really a hate relationship, but it's like.
You love him.
There are so many cryptids and creatures.
Does he do bad stuff?
There are some examples. Yeah. We get some stories where it does sound really, really scary. There are some abductions that Bigfoot has been blamed for. There's some really aggressive, I think it's like, we keep talking about Bigfoot when we talk about him inevitably, like every other episode, where it's kind of like people, there are good people, there are bad people. And it seems like most of the Bigfoot encounters are just fine. Like Bigfoot doesn't really want much to do with people, but other Bigfoots are very aggressive towards people. And there's been a lot of, I don't know if you've looked at all into any of the like missing 411 cases where there's a bunch of missing people that have these patterns associated with their disappearances. And there are some that people have been curious, like, is this associated with Bigfoot? Because it's like where there'll be a bunch of Bigfoot sightings, kids will suddenly disappear and reappear 3 days later, 20 miles away and 5,000 feet in elevation and be completely clean. And like weird things like that where it's unexplainable.
Okay, the only thing though that makes me think it's not Bigfoot is Bigfoot himself or themselves. We don't know, but they are notoriously hairy, smelly, dirty. So how could someone that they abduct come back very clean?
That's a good point.
Well, and also, isn't that every guy that we all dated in college? Like, couldn't this just be humans that with bad hygiene or costumes?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I'm just.
Or aliens.
It's either your ex-boyfriend that has bad hygiene or it's aliens. It cannot be anything else.
What about the Loch Ness? What about old Nelly?
Okay, oh. I just saw that theory, though, that the Loch Ness monster is actually a ghost of a dinosaur, and I'm so here for it.
Ghost of a dinosaur would be welcome in this year 2024. I'm praying for a ghost of a dinosaur news. Yeah.
That would be so cool. Like, why haven't we seen that?
I also feel like we've lived through so much in the past few years that I could be told anything and I just wouldn't be surprised by it. I'd just be like, oh yeah, cool fact.
We had murder hornets like 2 years ago. Like when murder hornets dropped, I was just like, I'm disassociating from my existence as a human being now.
Yeah. And now there's like the Apple Vision goggles and people are full on black mirroring. Oh my
God. It's so bizarre.
What is humanity?
I don't know. I'm like trying to figure out, can we get an island and how much does plumbing actually cost? Because I'm trying to go like live separately, just invite all the people I know that are cool and be like, let's fucking go.
Okay, that's a dream. That's a commune. And I really want to live on a commune.
Is it New Hampshire, Corinne, that has all those islands?
Maine.
Let's go.
The whole coast of Maine. There's like a thousand little tiny islands. You can buy a whole island.
Yeah. Where do you live in Boston? Corinne?
Yeah, I live right outside of Boston. I grew up in Vermont. And so I have my whole family scattered between like Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. I guess I'm the only person in Massachusetts now.
That's tight. Boston is like one of our biggest listenership cities, always has been.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I think one of ours too. Boston's like a big podcast city.
I've never been. I can't wait to go.
Oh man, it's so beautiful.
Wait, come. I'll take you to Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh yeah. Where do you live, Sabrina?
I live in LA, Santa Monica.
Oh, okay. Do you see Larry David often or just occasionally?
No, never. That would be cool.
Wait, do you see Larry David often, Tiffany, when you're in LA?
Every time I go to Santa Monica, all I do is Google where does Larry David go out in Santa Monica and I fucking go there.
Where does he go?
He goes to the delis I go to and all the Jew places that I usually frequent as well.
Gosh.
I'm Jewish, so I can say that. No, that's my dream.
Send me the Larry David list and I will.
Okay.
I'll stalk him for you.
I mean, a lot of the places that he's filmed the show, like the delis and stuff that they show, Cantor's and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if Cantor's is in Santa Monica. I think that's LA. But
yeah, I don't think
those are the places he actually goes in real life. So I'm just praying.
Okay. I'll look out for him.
Yeah. I know he's married and everything, but I just want to be friends.
Hey, a celeb sighting is a celeb sighting.
I never see a celebrity I want to see.
Who would you see that you would approach?
Oprah. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Respectfully, though. Only to lay flowers at her feet or something extremely respectful.
I bet she's had people do that.
I don't even think I would say anything to her because I wouldn't even want to like do anything. Like, I'd just be like,
yeah,
I love you so much. But I have like gone to things for work and there's celebrities there and I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for existing, sweat, and then leave after 5 minutes. Like,
right.
I am not cool at all. I cannot even pretend.
I did live in LA for a while, which is how Sabrina and I met each other. Mm-hmm. I saw Flava Flav in the airport. And he had his clock necklace on.
Was he with Pumpkin or was he with New York?
He was only with his entourage of men.
And he's like 4 feet tall, right?
Yes. He's so tiny. I'm 5'3" and I could fucking check that that guy. Like, I would beat him up. He's so little. But he's got to be really strong because he also wears giant clocks around his neck. So I think like there's a lot of muscle. Mm-hmm. Kind of hidden within his slim frame.
He's scrappy.
Do you think he's shrunk over the years, though? Do you think that's like pulled him down?
Oh, like he's getting tech neck, but it's from his heavy chain clocks.
Is tech neck the term for like being a hunchback after being at the computer all day?
Yes, it's tech neck.
It is. We all have it.
I hate that.
Let's all just put your shoulders back.
Ever since my friend who works with like senior citizens in the health field was like, oh, yeah, most white women get a hunchback. I was like, just
I beg your pardon.
I didn't know this.
Why didn't I get warned? I would have been started stretching years ago.
Oh, no.
I know.
Like that it just happens, I guess. Like some people are more genetically deep disposition, whatever. I don't know. Yoga, Pilates, these people with the machines. I don't know. Let's look into that too.
Have you heard of Stretch Lab? There's like a place where you can go where people literally just stretch you, which I think is so strange.
I have heard of it. I looked it up because I was like, that sounds interesting. And it is like $300 a month for a membership.
To be stretched?
Like that, to literally have someone help you stretch.
Like, I'm sorry. If you're paying that much to go have someone stretch you, like, can't you just stretch yourself? I understand like the PT version of it if you like had surgery and you need to be stretched that way. But like.
But that's not this.
That's not this. This is like a, I want someone's hands on me, but not quite a massage. And also if you go past them, it's like very open. Like you can see all of the tables where people are being stretched.
That's my worst nightmare.
It's not like private stretching, which I prefer that it's not private stretching because that would give me the ick.
Yeah, that could be worse.
Okay, well, speaking of the ick, we have a game that we prepared for you, Tiffany.
Oh, I love games.
And we were trying to think, basically, you spend your days analyzing a lot of red flags in humans, in relationships. And so we're like, how do we put a paranormal spin on this? So we're going to play red flag or green flag. And I'm pretty sure, Corinne, we only made red flags. I don't think we...
Well, I don't know. I think there's some beige flags in here. There's some like maybe some pink for the right person.
Okay.
It could be a green flag. Okay. We'll see, you know? Don't yuck another person's yum. That's what the rule that I've learned.
Yeah. Okay. So basically we just like have scenarios. You can say red or green flag or beige, whatever. And then you can also kind of, if you would like to play around and like try to decipher what type of entity, paranormal creature we're talking about, we can also do that.
Oh, hilarious. Okay.
They take you on a vacation, but they don't tell you any of the plans and they wipe your memory upon returning.
Red flag.
Why? Doesn't that sound delightful?
Who does that though?
Aliens.
Aliens do that?
Yeah, it's like an alien abduction.
Oh, like on Men in Black?
Yeah, kind of like in Men in Black where they erase the memory.
It's like the Uno reverse to the aliens.
I have like a obsession with aliens and I've like wanted to get abducted really, really badly. So my other red flag for this, I put, you beg and beg for them to give you attention, but they never show up.
Red flag for sure. Avoid an attachment.
But see, that's me having anxious attachment, you know?
I have avoidant attachment so I can spot it anywhere. No, I mean, I've healed.
Long pause.
Well, we're all therapized here.
Yeah. I mean, anybody who's breadcrumbing you, even a ghost, is not worth your time.
Yeah. But I still agree. Keep coming back for more and they've given me nothing.
Well, you know, something that I learned recently is like our trauma triggers our attraction a lot of times. And that's a fucking bitch to learn.
It's so messed up. Like,
oh, so because you hate me, I love you more. That tracks. Right. You have a low opinion of me. I have a low opinion of me.
The fact that you can have that awareness, but also not be able to change it or see it coming still is like also baffling.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that one of the things where like EMDR, doesn't that help with kind of like reversing that sort of response?
Mm.
I think it's for like those big T traumas, right? So like a sexual assault or like being a part of a shooting or something where it's like, that memory is so overwhelming to you. I've never done EMDR, but how I've had it explained to me is like you basically hold on to these like.
I've done it.
Things. Yeah. You've done it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of like walk. I mean, you correct me, keep me honest here, but like they walk you through the memory.
Yeah. I ended up doing it. Let's say I did. Well, I was in trauma treatment for like 2.5 months, but I did EMDR like probably a total of like 12 hours. And yeah, like every session I went through it. You would go through it. I went through it once every time. Mm. And I will say that was like extremely powerful. Like I've been like doing therapy for years and years. That is the only thing that's ever altered my like memory of that one specific traumatic experience. I wish that it could like rewire like the way you think about things, but it's more of like memory.
Like reducing the trigger feeling, right?
Yeah. I've told this to Corinne, and I may have talked about it on the podcast, but I invited all the women in my life into this memory of mine. And my grandmother, as I was doing the EMDR, working through it and inviting all these women, my grandmother, who has since passed away, like stepped forward and like held me. And so now when I think of the traumatic memory, I think of that moment, which I created in my brain. I think of my grandmother holding me. Isn't that crazy?
It's beautiful.
It is.
And beautiful. Yeah. But also the power of the brain is amazing.
Dude, the brain is tripping. It's insane.
Yeah. Okay, back to
the game. Okay, red flag, green flag, or beige flag.
Okay.
Someone who exclusively uses sizes of children as their unit of measurement or comparison. So they'd be like, oh, it's like as big as a 4-month-old, or it's like a 7-year-old child size.
I feel like beige, maybe.
Because it depends on who it's coming from.
Right. Because like, I mean, I'm like that person with no sense of measurement that'll just be like, I don't know. It's like a canoe length. I don't know what. I just bought the couch. I didn't give a fuck. I didn't measure a wall. Like, so I could see it.
But they only use children as the size comparison.
Yeah. Only children is giving Hansel and Gretel for sure. Which that whole story is insane, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it is.
The fact that we were just like, this is a fairy tale that children should learn and know.
I know.
Well, same with like nursery rhymes and like some of those like riddles and things that we would sing as kids. Like those are fucking creepy. Yeah.
Well, you were spot on with the Hansel and Gretel, because that was what we thought would be maybe probably more of a red flag for the creepy witch in the woods.
Mm. I have such an admiration for the creepy witch in the woods as I've gotten older.
Mm. She knows what she wants.
Right, exactly. Just a couple of kids in her oven. If it were like an old man doing that, that would give me like the creeps.
Right.
I just feel like what I remember about her is not trying to stuff the children, is really that she had a house made of candy, and that I understood on a spiritual level, the cake house.
Yes.
Like, how bad could she be?
Yeah.
There's a lot of dessert here. That's how you lure me, is a house made of desserts.
True.
And you know she has, like, no teeth because, like, they've all fallen out because of cavities.
Yeah. None.
Yeah, she's just a little gummy old lady. What could she do?
Right. How can she even eat a child?
Yeah, that's a great question. And now I'm trying to picture it, and I don't like it.
Well, my brain, I have an answer, but I don't want to say it. So
yeah, I'm not saying a lot of things out loud. Like Jay-Z, I tell the truth when I get nervous. So my husband this morning was like, why are you so nervous? And I was like, because I say truthful things when I'm nervous. And then I'll just say way too honest things. His way of comforting me was, people aren't even canceling people anymore. They're over that.
Since when? I feel like that's everyone's favorite pastime.
I was like, what? We live in two different worlds, man.
Oh, my gosh.
He does not spend enough time on the
internet.
And
also just like the response is telling that like he wasn't like, no, you won't say something inappropriate, but it's fine. You probably won't get canceled if you do.
The nice thing with podcasting is that it's not live for the most part, so we can edit things out.
Yeah.
Magic. Wait, okay, Tiffany, you have children. Are they creepy? Have they ever seen any ghosts?
No, they're not creepy. How dare you?
A blessing or a curse? It's a blessing for you, I think. But if and when I have kids and they don't creep me out, I will be like really sad.
So they're not sleepwalking and like speaking weird gibberish over you?
Yeah. No, they've never even so much as like done something accidentally creepy. But
wow.
I do have a friend who like went viral for, it was like a meme about thinking that your kid was a goblin and almost like roundhouse kicking them in the middle of the face, like in the dark in your house or something like that.
Yeah.
So she, my friend Jill, so I remember her feeling creeped out by your kids, just like them scaring you.
Yeah.
Corinne, have you talked about being with child on the podcast, right? Because I saw it on social. Yeah. So to me, the weirdest thing about being pregnant, besides all the vomiting and lack of healthcare or plan, was the baby kicks. Like when, like people would are like, oh, it's so precious. And it was after a while, but like the first few times I felt like an alien, I was like, there's an alien in there.
That's what you always relate it to, Corinne, the scene in Alien.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, okay, because, well, I have an anterior placenta, so I have a little pillow for them to punch. So yeah, it's a little bit easier and a little less freaky right now.
A little cushion.
But my dad was like, because I haven't been overly freaked out. I'm like, it's kind of weird that they're moving, but it still kind of just almost feels like I'm being flicked from the inside. But my dad freaked me out the other day because he was like, wait until you see their hand and their fingers like swipe across your belly. Did that happen to you?
Does that happen?
I guess it did to my mom.
Like, I wanted to have children, and I know pregnancy is a blessing and complaining about it is controversial in any capacity, but I fucking hated it. I fucking hated it.
And you're allowed. Yeah, you're allowed.
I love my kids. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
But I fucking hated being pregnant.
Oh, the joys.
Okay, well, I have another red flag based on the hand swipe. Okay. And I'm making this up on the spot. They only show up when you're sleeping. And they stroke your hair at night.
Well, that sounds like a few situationships I've been in before.
Oh, no.
No. Red flag.
Okay.
Anybody showing up in the middle of the night for me without an announcement ahead of time, it's a red flag. Don't fucking pop by. I don't care what time of day it is.
I will say I feel like that's a lot of paranormal beings and supernatural entities. They come at night.
Yeah. If a ghost could send an email and let me know what time and we could schedule something, I'd be really open to that. It's the on the fly that bothers me. I do remember, I have to tell you guys this story because you're the only people who will appreciate it. It's not long. But like I had this best friend and I want to say it was third grade, Shannon. And we lived in Auburn at the time, which is like up in the foothills. And it's like a lot of Victorian houses. And like, there's a lot of rumors of hauntings and stuff. And she told me before I came over for a sleepover that her house was definitely haunted. And there's a green blob that floats on the ceiling sometimes. And I was like,
ooh, green.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why it was green. And our favorite color at the time was lime green. Like, and we had like lime green blow up chairs and like matching lime green nails at all times.
Oh my gosh, I loved those chairs.
So one time we were laying in bed and I don't know if it's honestly if she like implanted the memory because every time I would go over there, she'd be like, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. It's going to come one of these times. And during the summer, I spent like every day at her house kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And one night I did feel like I saw it, like Ghost Rider.
Really?
You know, like Ghost Rider, the TV show. Did you guys ever watch that?
I never watched it, but I know it.
There was like just a way. I don't know if she, like I said, I felt like I saw this green like cloud thing. And she's like, there it is. And we were like losing our minds. That's and she so was also weird. Really religious and started like crying. Like, she was, like, convinced there was a demon in her house, and I was just like, what?
But the fact that you saw it together, too, that makes me think that it really was there, that you guys were both looking up at it. And also, if it was something a little bit more demonic, or even if it was just a gentle spirit, perhaps it was trying to show itself, but in a way that would be less scary. So it was like, let me appear as their favorite color. It just kind of backfired. Right. Or makes your memory a little fuzzy on it now, where you're like, did I?
I don't know. I just remember it happening for like 2 seconds, like very quickly, seeing it almost like a flash.
Yeah.
Like swirl. And then just because of her emotional response, like I, of course, was like, are you okay? Like, right. Just go to bed instantly. Just like the demon's getting you. But
my God.
Shout out to Shannon. I smoked my first cigarette with her when I was 12. It was a wild summer.
The summer with Shannon.
You had a lot of haunted friends.
I did. I hung out with a lot of kids that were not being watched. I guess ghosts go for those kids.
And right. Also probably the area that you lived in.
They're like, no one's watching them. They seem like they need help. They seem like they could use a bonus parent. The ghost was just like watching us and was just like, relax, go to sleep. I'll finally show myself. Enough already.
The entire graveyard that's just like, oh my God, I guess we got to leave and go watch these kids. No one else is. Right. I thought my parenting died with me. Okay, I have a red flag, green flag, or beige flag.
Okay.
This person types super slowly. They often misspell words and they leave you on red.
Beige flag four.
Beige flag.
Because there could be some ableism at play here. Some people type slow.
Some That's people a good do. I also misspell quite a lot.
I also do. And my phone is like constantly putting things out into the universe. I'm like, no one typed right. dildo. No one. No Why one did you send dildo in my work text? Like, I feel like my phone is haunted sometimes.
I also agree with the beige flag because I have 194 unread texts. So I feel like
I just got so much anxiety for you.
Yeah.
Who's texting you that much? It's a group chat, isn't it? With two or more women.
It's so many group chats. And honestly, you know when this started? It started when we started this podcast. And I used to be like a no red bubbles on my phone. But then because I added the podcast email to my phone, inevitably we always had unread messages. And so then I let go.
You just lean in now. That's yeah. insane.
I go through really anxious, like social anxiety moments too, where I will not respond to any text message, even if it's just like a one-on-one text where it would take me 1 second to respond.
Yeah.
And so I won't respond sometimes for like 2 weeks, which I feel like everyone knows that about me.
Yeah.
So no one's been upset with it.
Yeah. In my mind, I respond. My Same. Intentions are good. It's just like squirrel, you know, or like social media pops up or some shit. And then you're just
something else.
And then 2 weeks later, they're like, hey, not to be annoying, but, and you're just like, I'm a fucking dick. So sorry.
I swear I responded to this.
Let me just copy and paste from my notes app my general apology for these situations since it fucking happens so often. Let's do that. Yeah.
Well, we wrote that one specifically thinking about Ouija board ghosts. Because
I was going to say, is this a Ouija board?
It is.
Is there a ChatGPT Ouija board yet? Like where we could just ask it questions and then it responds like 8-ball situation.
Well, I almost feel like talking to the robots of AI and
Already
the potential
is.
Of their own consciousness just like pivoting and breaking off and becoming its own thing is scarier than ghosts.
Did you see that robot attacked somebody?
What?
Wait, what?
There was a fucking robot that went ham.
Like Megan?
The fucking robot was like, I'm sick of this shit. Basically, what? That's what I was told. This was information given to me by my 14-year-old son, so I'm going to write a note to make sure that that's true.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, let me Google it. I was not wrong. December 27th, 2023, a Tesla factory robot reportedly attacks a worker and left them bleeding. What the fuck?
Okay, but is that one of those stories that like kind of became sensationalized and it was like,
I don't fucking know.
Like, did the robot actually attack the person or did it like malfunction and like hit the person?
Right. It probably is that. But of course, they're like, we have to make this edgy.
Right.
Yeah. Because everybody says attack.
Yeah. I don't know. There's so many robots out there, though, that even the people that work on them, they're starting to like certain people have been freaked out by what's happening in the development. And like it freaks me out when robots, if you put a couple robots or like AI intelligence together, that they'll start to shorthand and basically create their own language to speak to each other eventually. It started with Furbies, and now look at where we are. It's fucked.
I never had a Furby.
That's a good thing.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Those are stuff of nightmares.
I definitely had trolls, though. The trolls with the...
Would you like to own a Furby? We could get you a Furby.
I don't know. I never thought about it. I just remember him being big. You know, I guess I wasn't a Furby girl. Like, when I was a kid, I remember my brothers teasing me because I would like turn my toothbrushes into like Barbies and like, I don't know. I was a fucking weirdo.
You were inventive.
Some call it quirky.
All right. Red flag, green flag, beige flag. Within the first 2 minutes of meeting this person, they ask if you see dead people.
I'm going to go red flag.
Well, you know what? Thanks a lot because we wrote that about ourselves.
We're talking about us.
I don't see dead people. I don't think, but I did love the fuck out of that movie. Let me tell you, when he said he was dead, I was like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. The Village, too.
Oh, The Village was so good.
So good.
Oh. So fucking good.
Corinne and I, on a daily basis, ask people if they see dead people and have made a career out of it. And
that tracks.
And honestly, it's one of those things where when talking about social anxiety and you don't know what to say, and the other person also has social anxiety, our go-to is, so, do you see dead people? It gets the conversation going.
What are your ghost stories?
It gets the combo going like nothing else, it does. You know?
And I've definitely been the person like at weddings where the whole conversation, like I have a group of people now telling me ghost stories at like the most inappropriate
time, best.
Which is literally when people are getting married.
I'm usually like, do you smoke weed?
That's how I make small talk. So, you like your parents?
Tell me about your traumas.
Couple exes you want to talk about? What do you want to get into?
Do you feel like in your life you were always the person people like dumped their stuff onto?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So I made a career out of it.
Right. Why not?
Kidding. No, but I remember like saying that when I went to group therapy. Like, I feel like my whole life I've had a sign on my forehead that just said dump shit here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's different when, like, obviously on the podcast, I love doing it in that way. And it's right. something I'm so, so passionate about. But yeah, I've been like growing up with a narcissistic mom. You definitely become your mom's therapist really early on. So that was like my job in life, you know? Right. And then I feel like, especially in relationships with young women, going from my relationship with my narcissistic mom, I would like get kind of stuck in those relationship mm-hmm. patterns.
You repeat your trauma. Yeah.
Right. Now I feel like there's give and take in my relationships.
You've evolved. Congratulations.
Right. I've healed and I don't take You've people's healed. Scraps anymore. It's amazing. But yeah. Now I'm like, please tell me everything, you know, in detail. Right. Like, what did you eat for lunch? You'll never bore me. Like, I also, it's hard when you genuinely do care about people and you like want to be there for them, but you're like, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
You're making me choose you over me so many times.
Because it can drain you so much.
Right.
Boundaries.
There's got to be something so healing too about doing your podcast and speaking to all of these victims and just kind of having the ability to look inward, but then also like, provide your experience and your expertise to some of these victims too.
I wouldn't say expertise, but perspective.
Perspective.
I am not a therapist or a doctor. They remind me every day on these internet streets. Yes.
In fairness, you say it constantly on the podcast. Yes, you do.
Well, we're so grateful for you and so grateful that you've shared your own story and that you've given a space to people to share theirs and also feel like they're not alone if they've been through anything similar to those stories of survivors that are on your show. Where can people find you? And is there anything that you want to like plug?
You can find me, the only social media I have, at Lookieboo, LOOKIEBOO. It's been that name forever or I would have changed it. And somethingwaswrong.com is our website where people can access resources or share their story with us. And season 20 is coming up here, and it is
so exciting.
The most diabolical, insane, unlike anything other that I've ever heard of story in my life.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine.
And it's a female predator, and we have traced a pattern of behavior almost 18 years long now.
Whoa.
We're going to be hearing from her victims at the age of 14 to 6 months ago.
Oh my gosh.
So
oh my
God. It is
I just got chills.
Insane. It is insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Psychopath.
Well, we're going to devour that as soon as it comes out. As
yeah,
we
absolutely.
Do with most of the seasons.
Everything about this bitch is haunted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, sounds like we need to send our podcast spirits to intervene and be like, oh, you want to send an email? Decline.
Yeah. If they could get the FBI involved, like that's what I need now. How do I channel the spirits into helping? I'm like hiring interns, spirits. Come on.
I know.
I need some karma spirits that I can like send to these D-bags.
Oh, right. Seriously.
That would be epic. Let me know if you guys find anything on that. Like if there's like a Fiverr for ghosts. Where I could like hire them to just go haunt certain people. That would be fantastic.
There's for sure some witches out there.
We do have a coven like of witches that listen to our podcast. So maybe like we can like have them do a little like witchy stuff.
Have you guys done like tarot card readings and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
We've had them done. And Sabrina's been getting into actually reading them.
Yeah.
I can do a really bad reading.
Right. I refer to the little like info card.
I'm like, Google says, according to the app, it could mean your garbage or the best.
Yes.
Yeah. Looking at you, Five of Swords.
This guy could be your soulmate or the worst thing that's ever happened to you. We're not sure yet.
Only time will tell. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tiffany. This was so much fun. It's been great to like finally talk to you. And hopefully you were able to like escape the terror of humans for a minute and talk about
ghosts. No, this was fun. This is the fun part of my week for sure. So thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
We will See you on the other side.